quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mike McDowd. Russell Jackman is off on assignment today. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. And today's trivia question is, or theme, is going to be transit systems around the world. And our special guest has an English accent, so I think he's going to know this very well. I didn't know he was going to be our guest when I set up the trivia questions, but I think he's going to go 100%. Mike, why don't you let us know who's going to be our guest in the next segment? This is just a little teaser intro.
As you well know, there's a big event surrounding the world of bowling, and people are gathered to come watch the sport of bowling along with the sport of ping pong. And they're gathering in North America to watch this really unique event. I'm full of you-know-what. No. The world is actually gathered in North America, New York, Dallas, San Francisco, Toronto, Mexico, to watch the grandest sport of all, the World Cup soccer, the beautiful game. And joining me is a very dear friend of mine, joining us, not me. It's not about, it's, you know, there's no I in team. Joining us is a very dear friend of mine, and I'll put it this way. He's such a great guy that I'm not even going to tell you his name yet, but you want to listen to him because he is what I consider a soccer expert. Not only did he play at the highest level, he coached here in America, and he knows the game inside and back, backwards and forwards, upside and down and all around, and I can't wait to talk to him.
All right, and before we cut to our break, we do want to do a welcome to WatchSMSN.com, serving Indiana and beyond. SMSN Radio, your home for sports. Thanks to CEO and founder Brian Snow. All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
There are rivers that people visit, and then there are rivers that change them. For over 40 years, Tributary Whitewater has guided adventurers on the West's most iconic waters. The journey spans from the deepest river canyon in North America via Hell's Canyon on the Snake River to the legendary wild and scenic stretches of the Rogue River in Southwest Oregon. Bring the family and explore a 3-day, 2-night easy rafting trip on the new Lower Klamath, or half-day to 2-day trips on California Classic Whitewater on the American River, or experience the rivers in the Sierra Nevada, including the Truckee River and the springtime East Fort Carson River, both just outside of Lake Tahoe. With expert guides and all-inclusive overnight experiences on the river, Tributary serves as a premier gateway to the great outdoors. From Oregon and Idaho to the heart of California, Tributary Whitewater provides everything you need for an experience of a lifetime. Reservations for the 2026 season are available at whitewatertours.com. Tributary Whitewater, incredible river experiences.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with my co-host Mike McDowell. Now, Mike, you were teasing the audience about our special guest, but you wouldn't mention his name. Time to mention his name.
Well, I'm going to mention his name. You know, that's, I want people to listen. I want people to, you know, stay tuned. I want people to watch, because not only does our guest, his name is Mark Franke. He does not know this, but our little show that we do goes coast to coast, border to border, and around the world with our U.S. military on the American Forces Network. So we're great. Mark's going to have a worldwide voice, and he's going to talk a little bit about the beautiful game. Soccer is called the beautiful game, in case you don't know that. And, man, the world has converged to our great nation and the other nations that are okay, Canada and Mexico.
It's called football.
To watch a little football. It's just been an event that has featured, 48 teams? And the most teams that have ever played in the World Cup are here now. And the gentleman who has joined us, his name is Mark Franke. He's a dear friend of mine. I've known him for 45 years. He was my soccer coach at Brigham Young University when I went to camp there. And we just became friends for life. Probably the biggest reason we became friends, actually, super cool guy. On top of the fact we were both Catholic guys at a Mormon university, so we kind of hit it off that way, and we got a kick out of it. But Mark, welcome to the show. Love, it's about time you join us, and we're going to talk about the beautiful game. I guess we'll start with the emotional part. Well, first of all, welcome. I mean, are you nervous at all? I hope so.
Thank you, Mike.
that's a real English response. Thank you, Mike. I'm not nervous at all. So, Mark, wow, I guess we got to start. The top four teams in the world have come to the table. We had Spain and France, and then the three Lions, the lads from England, against the... Yeah. Heated rivalry between the two nations, Argentina and England. I guess let's start off with that first, because the two teams, the two nations don't like each other, and this game was one for the ages, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, the history between these two teams goes back to 1966, when the World Cup was in England, and England played Argentina in the quarterfinal. And Argentina's captain that day His name was Ratan. He was sent off in that game. And so Argentina was down to 10 men and England won 1-0. So that's when it all started, the rivalry between England and Argentina. And since then, they've played another couple of times. One of the other times was when David Beckham was actually sent off against Argentina. Don't remember which World Cup it was exactly, but sometime in the 90s. And Argentina won that game. And then, of course, there was the memorable Hand of God in 1986. So 40 years ago, that game when Diego Maradona handled the ball, but there was no VAR then, and that goal stood. And he did score a spectacular second goal, and Argentina won that game 2-1. So, yeah, it's been a rivalry for the ages, really.
And, you know, you talk a little about, I mean, boy, some of the biggest players have really played. I mean, you mentioned Diego Maradona, and, of course, the man we're going to talk about a little bit, Messi. But, you know, just the emotion you have, the passionate people from South America against the fun English who also have that passion, the soccer traditions, in my humble opinion, are unrivaled between those two nations. And when these two teams play, you know, I know you said, well, there's just so many variables to talk about, but put it this way, the end result was not something that I actually thought was going to happen, but when it was all said and done, the English team played defense instead of being an offensive team, laid back, put all their guys back in defense, and the manager really is being scrutinized for the way that he handled the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, yes, certainly today there's been a lot of talk about his tactics, because when he became the England manager, he said that he wasn't going to play the way Gareth Southgate played, which was a very cautious way. So everybody was expecting him to be a bit more on the front foot, so to speak. And he kind of has been until the last 20 minutes of yesterday's game, which was very disappointing, really, because we had taken the lead in the game and it was pretty even. I mean, Argentina did hit the post a couple of times after we took the lead. But before we took the lead, it was fairly even. But then England went more and more into their shell, and his substitutions, taking off Anthony Gordon and bringing on a defender, was a very negative substitution. And really, in that type of game, you've got to keep Argentina on their toes by pushing and putting pressure on them, and we just didn't do that.
So for the last 15 minutes. Right, you're playing not to lose rather than playing to win.
What he did there was, we're winning 1-0, and I've seen it, many teams do it, but some teams do it very well. For example, the Spain-France game, Spain were ahead 1-0, but they didn't just sit back. You know, they kept the pressure on France, but obviously were very cautious, kept the ball, kept possession. England are not very good at keeping possession the way Spain were keeping possession in the France game. And eventually France just got frustrated and couldn't, you know, they couldn't do anything. And then Spain got a second goal. That's what we should have done. We should have kept the pressure on Argentina, try to get that second goal, but we didn't do it. And everybody could see it. I mean, I was sitting in Gallup, New Mexico in a bar watching the game. And today the fans, you know, England fans on social media have been really vilifying Thomas Tuchel, but no, he is a good coach. He's a good coach. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he went into the shell.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, for English football fans, it's been 60 years since they won a cup, so everything was right down the line. Granted, yeah. You did say that not too long ago, England was in the Final Four again, but you know, yeah. I just felt like maybe this was a team of destiny. They seem to be playing very well. That Mexican game really showed me something about this team. I mean, Bellingham, yeah. Jude, Kane, the goalkeeper was very good.
Yeah, but and in that game, Mike, In that game, we went down to 10 men. So he was justified in bringing on some extra defenders and, you know, holding on to the lead in Mexico and not Argentina. So that's a different team you're playing against.
I'm wondering if the coach is like, he's concerned he's going to get criticized if he's going to be too aggressive, you know, while you're winning. I mean, that happens in our American football too. Sometimes they, rather than, you know, keep the pressure on, they just, you know, run the football rather than try to get a first down, right? Just try to run the clock out. And that just doesn't work a lot. Tell you what, let's go to our first commercial break here. And Mark, as a little reminder, if you know the answer, don't say it yet. We're going to wait till we cut to break. When we come back, you can answer the question. We're talking about various transportations here. You better know this one. What is the rapid transit system in London called? All right. And it's like I said, I had no idea Mark was going to be our guest when I put these questions together a few days ago. But I'm sure Mark's going to know that one. I think, Mike, I think you're going to know this one, too. Have you ever been to England, Mike?
You know, I don't believe in lying. So honestly, I've not been to London. So okay, I'm just going to shut my mouth.
I kind of knew this one. But anyway, so that's our trivia question. What is the rapid transit system in London called? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell and our special guest, Mark Franke.
I like Franke. Franke?
All right, here's our first trivia question. What is the rapid transit system in London called? Mark, what do you call that?
Oh, come on, let me go. It's BART.
It's what?
Bay Area Rapid Transit.
No, that's
yeah, we know. It was a joke.
That's in San Francisco. Yes, the London Underground is known as the Tube.
The Tube, yes, or the Underground.
The Tube. Nice.
Okay, so far he's one for one. All right, we are talking the World Cup finals here. You know, it's funny because I'm not a big soccer fan, but I guess because it's being played in the United States and I keep hearing about all these fans who just love America, you know, and all the ranch dressing, which I can't stand, but I like Thousand Island dressing. But for some reason, I've kind of gotten into it. And I've really enjoyed, you know, just watching the other fans. And then the games have been very entertaining. And so this Sunday, because this show is going to air on Saturday. And so the next day, it's going to be the finals between Spain and Argentina. But Mark, if you have to pick somebody, who would you pick?
Well, you know, Spain is the favorite for sure. And having watched them beat France, Spain really should win the game. Of course, Argentina has Messi. Who knows what's going to happen there? But Spain all round as a team, they don't really have a Messi, which is not a bad thing. Because as a team, I think Spain is better individually than Argentina is. So, but it'll be a close game. It's not going to be an easy game. And who knows? I mean, if it did go all the way, you know, and all the way to penalties, you know, anybody can win then. So, but Spain is definitely the favorite, and I would think Spain would win.
Hopefully the refs will do a good job, not mess up. Go ahead, Mike.
However, Mark, let's not count this out. There was one individual with four M's. He is known as the marvelous, magical, mellifluous Messi. Four M's. Magical, marvelous, mellifluous Messi. He's a once-in-a-generation player. The things that he can do with the ball, maybe not. He's not. He's not the 20s anymore. But the way that he can draw players to him, try to, you know, penetrate and dish off. Talk a little bit about. I know he's an Argentinian, but I also know that you respect and love the game of soccer. Talk about what he means to the game and what kind of player in history is he going to go on as, because he's got a chance to do something no other player has done, win two World Cups. And boy, this could be one for this. This could be truly remarkable.
Well, in the game yesterday, Mike, for 70 minutes, England actually closed him out of the game pretty much. I mean, he had his few moments, but and I think Spain will know what to do with him. But coming back to your question about how he'll be remembered as a player, yeah, he's definitely up there with, you know, the Maradonas and the Pelés of this world for sure. But coming back to the game on Sunday, I think Spain will know what to do, and I think England did it for 70-odd minutes until they went into their shell and really let him dictate the game for the last 20 minutes, and that's how they won the game, because he really got to dictate it. Spain will have learnt by watching that, I believe, and will close him down. I don't think he'll be as effective against Spain as he was in the end against England, but he's a great player, and he'll go down as one of the greatest players that has ever graced the pitch.
Yeah, and Messi, as you may know, of course, he's got Lautaro Martinez is a very good player. Enzo Fernandez for Argentina is also really good. So they have some other weapons along with the other kid, Emiliano.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't be in the final if they didn't. But I think without Messi, if he is shut down, I think they'll have a problem if he doesn't get to play the way he can in the game. But you're right. They have other good players. That's why they're in the final.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, give Spain credit where it's due, because as you mentioned, they maybe not have the superstars. They got the young kid, Yamin Yamal. They got Rodri, Danny Olmo, and then that kid, Nico Williams, who's a really, he's got a quick pace. He's almost electric with the ball. So, I don't suspect it's going to be like 3-1 Spain. I think it's going to be a very tight match. As you mentioned, technical ability of Spain, they're playing very cohesive as a unit, don't they?
Yeah, that's the difference, I think. I mean, you watch Spain passing the ball in the France game, how they kept possession of the ball, very technical players able to play one-touch football and keep possession and control the game. That's going to be, I mean, Argentina can do it as well, but not like Spain can. So I think that's going to be the difference in the game, the way the Spain can keep the ball, control it. If they score, you know, they can continue doing what they're doing.
Mark, this is a great question for, because obviously we have soccer enthusiasts. We, you know, I love the game, been played it my whole life, but explain the beauty and the essence of the, and it's, oh, it looks so simple, they don't score enough, but explain the true beauty of the actual one-touch soccer, the quick boom, the quick pass. There's such a skill to that and such an art form. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, that's down to the coaching. The players have all got great technical ability, but it's what they do in training that makes the difference between winning the World Cup and not winning it. But the game is a simple game, like you said, and everybody tries to overcomplicate it sometimes. And when you talk about the scoring, yes, many of my American friends, you know, they laugh at the game almost, because a 0-0 game to them, why are people watching it if it's 0-0? But it's all in the context of the tournament, all in context of the game itself. Is it a league game? Is it a tournament game? You know, I don't know. It's difficult to explain, Mike, to be honest with you. Growing up with the game, you see lots of different things in the game itself that some people don't see. You know, maybe people who are not big fans of the game won't see the levels of skill, the technical ability. One touch is not easy to do, playing one touch the way Spain was doing it against France. England couldn't do it. The English players are probably not quite as technical as the Spanish players, as the Argentinian players. But yeah, it's just a simple game. No need to overcomplicate it.
Edward, this is the first time that a European champion and a South American champion have played for the World Cup. So that's something to really take into consideration. But, you know, one thing that Argentina, I think they, if they can strike first, Mark, and get on the and put Spain on their heels, because Spain has not had to chase. They've scored in front. Whereas Argentina, through the, you know, pause, pulled the Houdini, the rabbit out of the hat, and somehow, some way, case in point, England. I really thought, oh my gosh, England's got, we you hit first, this is good, let's get another goal, 2-0, but that's not the way it worked out. So would you say that Argentina, in this particular case, really does need to score first and not chase?
I think Argentina will be concentrating at the beginning like they did yesterday. In the England game, you know, the first 45 minutes wasn't a great spectacle. And I think that could happen again on Sunday, because Argentina, you know, do not want Spain to take the lead, and vice versa, of course. You know, whoever scores first, well, it didn't matter in the England game because England scored first, went into their shell. Argentina, if they scored first, would probably try and do the same thing, to be honest with you. But they've got outlets where they can. Like, England didn't have any outlets to play the ball to up front. Argentina will, you know, they'll keep their outlets available. But yeah, it would be more interesting, I think, if Argentina did score first, to see, you know, what would happen. But I still think Spain would. I still think Spain would come through.
don't forget that Spain won the title in 2010. So, you know, they've been there before. Both these teams are right now the best in the world. But what about the let's talk a little about the overall World Cup experience, because you had 48 teams coming to North America.
Yes.
And the largest sporting event ever held.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, mate. When I first found out it was going to be 48 teams, I thought, wow, this is going to be really diluted. It's going to be a diluted tournament with some very weak teams in it. But one of the teams that's really impressed me is Cabo Verde. They drew the first game of the tournament with Spain 0-0, which was very impressive. Now, Argentina lost the first game of the tournament last time to Saudi Arabia, I believe. So they were put on their heels right away. So was Spain. But Cabo Verde, Curaçao, you know, teams of that ilk. I mean, even Qatar drew with Switzerland, you know. So the weaker teams have really done quite well. I've been quite impressed. I thought it wasn't going to be as competitive, but they were competitive. Curaçao did get blown away a little bit by Germany, but,
I think. Second trivia question. What is the rapid transit system in Paris called? Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Hop in a John Deere Gator XUV for a day's work. Let's see what's on the to-do list. There goes the tree. And the fence. Not a problem. Because you've got a cargo box filled with solutions. Up to 4,000 pounds of towing capacity. And you're ready to roll.
The power's out!
Here we go again. The Gator XUV. Built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikessanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikessanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Got stuff you don't need? Turn it into cold hard cash with Cha-Ching Company. Whether it's your house, your car, or even gold collecting dust, we buy it for cash fast. No hassles, no long waits. Get a free cash offer in just 24 hours and walk away with money in your pocket. That's Cha-Ching Company, your trusted cash buyer for houses, cars, and gold. Visit CashNow2026.com. Right now, and get your offer today.
The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa invites you to experience spring in Tahoe. Whether it's hiking, getting pampered in the spa, or relaxing by the lake, the Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa is the perfect destination, as it is close to many restaurants, Heavenly Village, and nature areas to explore. Every room has a spectacular Lake Tahoe view. call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com to reserve your room with a view.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowd and Mark Franke. And Frankie, yeah, like that. Okay, second trivia question. What is the rapid transit system in Paris called? Mike, do you know this one?
Well, I'm going to say this. It's because there was a great singer by the band Berlin, and she had this song called Riding on the Metro with me.
Riding on the Metro, very good. Okay, you guys ready? We do have to have our... My son said to me, Dad, today I saw someone do push-ups. Do you think you could do that? I replied, sure. I don't mean to brag, but I could probably watch someone do 180 push-ups. All right. silly pun of the week. Okay. We're back with Mark Franke to talk about the World Cup. Now, you know, I got to say one thing. When I saw the last United States game, and I was away, but I was watching it with a bunch of people, it was kind of embarrassing. I mean, it seemed like they were like junior high players. They just kept losing the ball.
Well, the United States, they opened the tournament with a fantastic win, actually, against Paraguay. I mean, they really played well that game. 4-1, 4-1, and the expectations, I think, really rose at that point. Their second game, Mike, who was it against their second game they played? They won that one as well. They won 2-0. It was against Australia. They beat Australia 2-0. And so they had 6 points in the bag. The third game in the group, I think they lost 3-2 to... They lost 3-2. And that team went through.
It was to Turkey. Turkey.
Yes. So, but they were already through as the group leaders. So they went through with 6 points. They were drawing 2-2 with Turkey. They changed the team quite a bit, because they rested their players who had played the other two games and won both of them. So they went into the round of 16, round of 32 at that point. What did they do then, Mike? Did they won that game, the round of 32 game, didn't they? I can't remember.
We played. I don't have the schedule in front, but we won that game. Then we played Belgium, and we got our butts kicked.
Yeah, but Belgium, Belgium are a very savvy, experienced team, and I think everybody in America thought, "Oh, Belgium, we've beaten all these teams already, so surely Belgium, we can beat them." And going into that game, I knew that would be a tough game. Not only is it the last 16, and Belgium are a very experienced team, then they knew how to deal with the U.S. The U.S. had, plenty of energy, very hyper, very, typical American, to be honest with you, going into that game. But no, I knew they'd have trouble with Belgium just because of the experience and the skill level of the Belgian players. They are a good team. They probably passed their peak. They were at their peak, I think, in the last World Cup, Belgium, but they're still a good team. And I think most Americans, I think, took them a little bit lightly, to be honest with you.
And let's not forget that these two teams played in a friendly back in March, and they beat us 5-2. So I don't know why we'd be taking them. I mean, why would we take them lightly? Because I'm sorry, but history repeated itself. And quite frankly, as Edward said, we did not play well. Tactically, we were terrible. The way you could just tell the ball distribution, one touch, beautifully executed.
I don't think Belgium let you play.
They cut us off, huh? Just shut us down.
Yeah.
Just shut us down.
And they were very calm. Belgium was very calm. I think the Americans were very, very excited about being in that game. And I think it was a little bit too much for them. They needed to be a little bit calmer, a little bit more, not as exuberant, maybe. I don't know. The Belgians played the way they can play. So I don't know. Didn't surprise me.
Think that Belgian team was better than what they showed? I mean, could they have made a run to the Final Four?
Well, when they got knocked out, who did they lose to? They lost 2-1 to... Who was it? I can't remember.
They played very well. They played excellent. I mean, they did quite well, to be honest with you. So, but, you know, I mean, the U.S., we have a lot of promise. And one of the things that we have to remember that all of our players, except for maybe one, play in the Major League Soccer.
Say that.
And hold on, guys. And so, yeah, so there has to be an opportunity. Oh, Edward, go ahead and answer the question here.
Several of the American players play in the Premier League and in Europe. I mean, Pulisic obviously plays with AC Milan. There's a player at Fulham. There's a player at Leeds. Aronson's at Leeds. Anthony, can't remember his last name. Robinson, he's at Fulham. So they had experienced players in the United States. I mean, they weren't inexperienced. But collectively, I think they met their match in Belgium.
Well, Mike lost his connection. That's kind of a first. Not just, sure what happened with him. Let me ask you, Mark. Pele. I mean, he was the one who the United States, even though he comes from Brazil, he was so popular in the 70s. Yeah. I think he seemed to put it on the map, didn't he? How old are you, Mark?
Yeah. I'm almost as old as Pele.
Yeah.
No, I remember I came to the United States in 1980, and the old North American Soccer League had really just folded at that point. But Pele was playing with the New York Cosmos in the late 70s, and they were getting crowds of 70,000 at the stadium at that time. But unfortunately for American soccer, there was no grassroots really established at that time. So when the North American Soccer League collapsed, there wasn't really anything underneath it. But today, there's a very strong grassroots system in the United States, feeding into the...
The immigration of other countries, people coming in, becoming U.S. citizens, the ones who are U.S. citizens, there's just such a big draw for soccer. And the thing is, the field is so large. Was it like 1.5 times the size of an American football?
No, it's about the same size as American football field. It's a bit wider. It's a little bit wider, a little bit longer. So the field in soccer can be as long as 120 yards, okay? So I know American football field is 100 yards plus the end zones. And then width-wise, it's 75 yards upwards, slightly upwards. Yeah, but so it's not, it's not massively bigger than American football field, but it is bigger, yeah. 50
yards, if I remember correctly. 1.5 yards by 100, so.
120 by 75.
Yeah, so hold on here. We're gonna 120 times 75 is 9,000 versus 100 times 50. It's 5,000. Yeah, it's like almost twice as big, area wise.
Really?
And Mr. McDowd is back. What happened to you, sport? You lost your connection, and now you're frozen. So, Mark, let me ask you still: who do you? Because you've been in the soccer business for a long time, who do you think is the best soccer player you've ever seen, heard about?
Of all time, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best soccer player of all time. Okay, so that's a difficult question, obviously, Ed. You mentioned Pele already, And of course, at this end, you've got Messi and Ronaldo at this end. And you've got the other Brazilian Ronaldo, who was a great player. And in between that, Bobby Charlton of England was a great player. George Best of Northern Ireland. Some people have never heard of George Best, but have you heard of George Best, Ed?
Edward Brown has not heard of George Best. I'm sorry.
Okay, George Best played in the 70s and into the 80s and was a fabulous player. He never graced the World Cup stage because he was a Northern Ireland international. Oh. And Northern Ireland, I think, haven't made the World Cup many times. But he was a great player. But yes, the ones you've seen on the world stage, Pelé, Messi, Maradona, Eusebio from Portugal was another one back in the 60s and into the 70s. So you can take a pick from...
Was it Kyle Rowe?
Yeah, he might have... Kyle Rowe Jr. was a US player back in the day, yeah, but he was never on the level of Pelé or Maradona or Messi or any of those players, yeah. The American players, I don't know, there's been a few good American players who've gone on to play in professional leagues in Europe, which is a very good standard, but nobody of the caliber of the ones we just mentioned.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Do we have you back now, Mike?
Yeah.
We can't hear you now. We lost your, we lost your. Yeah. Okay. So just for the audience who doesn't know, Mike is located in Jacksonville, Florida. They're constantly having thunderstorms around this time of year. And I'm wondering if that's the reason. Mark, where are you calling in from?
I'm actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico today.
Okay, there you go. See, that's a little bit more normal weather. What do you think, Mike? It looks like we still have you on.
No.
There you are. We have you back.
Okay, very good. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we lost
it for a minute. Let's not forget Shep Messi, Mark.
Yes, I do remember him. The goalkeeper.
Kyle Rowe Jr.
No, Ed mentioned him, but yeah, not quite the same level.
He was playing because he did the U.S. Okay, so if I were a goalie, I would have not just the Mickey Mouse hands, I'd have hands that were like 15 feet wide and 20 feet tall. No, they're all
not
like
necessarily. No, not necessarily.
They wouldn't let that. Okay, are you guys ready for our last commercial break? Oh, go ahead, Mike. One last thing before we go to our last commercial break.
Good question. Give me the worldwide Mount Rushmore of soccer players. Who were the top four soccer players in the history of soccer? Can you do that real quick?
Pele.
Yeah, we did talk about that. But you know, the ones that you've seen on TV, you know, Pele, you've seen on TV a little bit, not quite like today. Maradona, Messi. But like I said to Ed, nobody saw George Best that much, but he was a great player, and nobody witnessed him on the world stage.
And he was a San Jose Earthquake.
That's right. Let's
go. San Jose Earthquake, Ed.
There you go. Okay, let's go to our last commercial break here. Are today's passenger ships, and this is a multiple choice, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 times larger than the Titanic? Are today's passenger ships, they're larger than the Titanic. You have to tell me, are they twice as big, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, or 6 times? All right? That's our trivia question. Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. I'll be back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
With MedGuard Alert, you're never alone. You can connect with medical professionals anywhere, anytime. And now MedGuard is introducing our exclusive new CareWatch. If you need help quickly, use it from anywhere to contact medical professionals. No cell phone required. The CareWatch is not only a life-saving medical alert device, it's a revolutionary health monitoring system that checks your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, and much more. And here's the best part. If you have Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. The CareWatch is only available through MedGuard Alert. Call us right now. We have monitoring programs starting as low as $1 a day. The call is free, activation is free, shipping is free, and no contract is required. Remember, with Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. Call us to get your CareWatch right now.
800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. That's 800-853-8931.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowd and our special guest, Mark Franke. And our third trivia question, are today's passenger ships 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 times larger than the Titanic? What do you think, guys?
I think passenger-wise, they're probably 5 times as many, because passenger ships these days can get 5,000 right. people on That's them, and the good. Titanic probably has that.
Out of all those trivia ones, yeah. So here's our thoughts for the day. So I had a job interview this morning, and I was hired on the spot. The manager said, I'll start you off at $15 an hour, and in 6 months, I'll increase it to $25 an hour. When can you start? And I said, I'll start in 6 months.
6 months time. Yeah. Right. Good answer.
banks should do a better job at keeping their ATMs filled. I went to 5 different ATMs, and they all said insufficient funds. Crazy. All right. Mark Franke, the expert on soccer. Are you still coaching?
No. Stopped coaching. When I started my soccer travel business, soccertours.net, also with the website soccertours.com, I stopped coaching because it got quite busy for me. It's difficult to coach when you're working your own business as well.
Yeah.
So as a plug for soccertours.net.
Yeah, get that plug in, Mark. In 5 seconds, you take tour. You take teams from all over the world and get on tours, right?
Correct. Yeah. Spain, Italy, UK. Being in South Africa, Peru. Soccertours.net. SoccerTours.net.
SoccerTours.net.
All right. Tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.